Okay, thank you. And we're back with WATD 95.9, Friends with Benefits. And tonight's guest is Kathy Wibberly from Mid-Atlantic Telehealth Resource Center. Kathy is a director of the Mid-Atlantic Telehealth Resource Center and also director of research at the University of Virginia Karen S. Reuben Center for Telehealth. Kathy's public service career reflects close to 30 years of experience in public health, public policy, rural health, program development, program evaluation, and strategic planning. Hi, Kathy. How you doing? Thank you for joining the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yes. On the show, we try to promote healthcare, and once a month, we've been discussing telehealth on the show and informing our listeners the benefits of receiving care in remote areas and even in your own home. So, Kathy, please tell us the Mid-Atlantic Telehealth Resource Centers and some of the services you offer.
So the Mid-Atlantic Telehealth Resource Center, also known as MATRIX, is one of 12 regional and 2 national telehealth resource centers providing technical assistance to providers, agencies, and organizations throughout the country.
Mm-hmm.
Our overall mission is to advance the adoption and utilization of telehealth in order to support access to quality care, and it's particularly focused on those in rural and underserved communities and populations. So at MATRIX, we have several services and resources that are available to anyone, regardless of where you live. This includes our web-based resources at our website, matrc.org. From our website, you'll see a tab on the menu bar located at the top called Hot Topics. If you click on that, we've tried to identify areas of interest or emerging areas of interest. And so what you'll find there right now are links to our Telebehavioral Health Center of Excellence. This was intended to curate the best of the best resources on telebehavioral health and also includes a database on reimbursement with the top 3 payers in each state so that you can really see whether those payers reimburse for telebehavioral health services.
Mm-hmm.
We also have a page on tele-MAT resources because we know with the opioid epidemic this is a definite area of interest and hot topic. In the same kind of vein, we have just started our school telehealth center of excellence because we know that there's a huge growing interest in providing services to children at school. The content there is about halfway completed. We are working on finishing that up in the upcoming couple months.
Interesting.
You'll also find, under Hot Topics, a couple of toolkits. So we've put together a remote patient monitoring toolkit. We are working on updating one module or adding a module on reimbursement now that we have more guidance from CMS, but everything else is completed there.
Mm-hmm.
We have created a polygenetics toolkit in partnership with our colleagues at the NYMAC, which is the New York Mid-Atlantic Consortium that serves genetics providers throughout the overlap of regions that we have. We also have a vendor selection toolkit that helps people kind of navigate the, how do I select the right technology and how do I select vendor space.
Mm-hmm.
And in that context, we have a HIPAA and telehealth resources pages, so like helping people understand the nexus between HIPAA and telehealth.
Yes, and that's all on. I'm sorry. We also have Michelle Hager, our show sponsor, on the phone with us. Go ahead, Michelle.
Sorry, Joe. Thank you. I was just really interested, Kathy, in the telegenetics toolkit. Can you talk a little bit more about that and why that might be interesting to our listeners?
Yeah, so there's a huge shortage of genetics counselors and people who can really provide genetics providers at the same time where we have a growing interest in the kind of genetic aspects of everything from cancer to birth defects to even chronic diseases. And so the telegenetics toolkit in partnership with NYMAC is really to help genetics counselors and others wanting to go into that telegenetics space navigate, what are the policies, what do we need to think about in terms of business models, how do we get started doing this?
That's great. So the physicians or the clinicians that would be potentially doing a genetic service via telemedicine would use this toolkit to help them, but it would allow those geneticists, presumably, to provide more services in the areas where we have such a shortage of these types of specialists. Is that accurate?
Yes, that's correct.
That's fantastic.
I think the other service that we make available to anyone, regardless of location, is that we do offer virtual office hours. We have twice a month, we offer virtual office hours on telemental health and kind of telehealth basics. So anyone can connect to our Zoom room link and talk to someone and ask questions. And then once a month, we also have one that's focused on technology and vendor selection. And similarly, during that block of time, anyone can join and just ask questions.
Wow, that's excellent.
That's a great reason.
Yeah, and that website is M as in Mary, ATRC.org, MATRC.org, or otherwise we call it matric.org. And that's some very interesting topics to learn about. One in particular is School Telehealth Center of Excellence. I know that's a popular topic around the country in different regions, and how to provide healthcare to some of the kids in the schools and in your town without missing a day of school or missing a day of work, or just the whole schedule of, you know, any child's schedule is so busy. Can you talk a little bit about that and how that's progressing?
Yeah, so this was born out of a demand for school-based health services. And so our funder, HRSA, also funds school-based telehealth network grants, and they started funding that 4 years ago. And so the interest has peaked as a result of, I think, that grant funding and people hearing more and more about that. So we have, as part of our team at MATRC, Amanda Martin and Steve North, who are kind of national experts on school-based telehealth. They're from North Carolina and have been doing this for many, many years. And so they have been part of our team as consultative service partners. So we thought, why not put, you know, as the incredible resources that they have collected over the years online, and also curate those resources from other people doing school-based health programs. So this past year, they brought on a student intern who really did that curation work for them. And so those resources are, like I said, about halfway populated. There's a lot more that still needs to be added. But it really talks people through, you know, how do you start a school-based health program? Mm-hmm. Eventually, we'll have sample forms, you know, consent forms, things like that.
Yeah.
We will have a directory of school-based health programs throughout the country so that people will know what's going on and what types of services are being provided. So
right.
I think it will just be a really good source for people wanting to, you know, looking into this space.
Yeah. And I know behavioral health is a big one for the schools, telehealth programs.
Absolutely.
I think we did a pilot here in Massachusetts, the Hayward pilot. Was very successful, and they had, I think, over 65 students participate in the month that they all said was very helpful and easy to use. So that's excellent. Great resource for healthcare. MATRC.org. So you mentioned the grants. Michelle, do you know anything more about these grants for these schools to tap into? When do they come out? How do you look them up?
Oh, my gosh. I think that some of the grants that happen are, you know, in some cases, the HRSA-funded grants that are coming through. And those are the types of things that you really just have to be Googling and staying mm-hmm. on top of. I don't have a... I don't believe there is, and Kathy, maybe you can expand on this. I don't believe there's a central database where sort of all grants go, but it is the kind of thing that folks that have grant writers on staff or that need to do grant writing can reach out to various companies or to various sometimes academic institutions that may actually have someone on staff who's monitoring that as on a regular basis. Do you know any of a central database, Kathy?
Not a central database, but we do try to post announcements for grants on our Facebook page, and they'll be added to our website shortly. We just update it so we could add announcements to our website. So we tag them by @funding, so the hashtag @funding. So if you go to Matrix, MATRC's Facebook page, and you can search the hashtag for @funding and look for things that are available right now.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
right resources.
Yeah, and on this same subject, how is Matrix funded? How are you funded, Kathy?
So all the telehealth resource centers are funded by the Health Resources and Service Administration through their Office of Rural Health Policy, and within that, they have an Office for the Advancement of Telehealth.
Okay, so where are the areas in the hospital's Matrix services?
Our service area includes the mid-Atlantic states of Delaware, D.C., if you count that as a state, Kentucky, Maryland, North Carolina, New Jersey, which we share with the Northeast Telehealth Resource Center,
okay.
Pennsylvania, Virginia, and West Virginia.
Yeah, we've had Danielle Lauder from the NETRC on the radio show, and she spoke about her telehealth programs and how to share information. Her website is probably netrc.org for people up here in the Northeast.
Yep,
and
their website is Resource Library, which we use all the time.
Yeah, those are great.
I was just reading an article, Kathy, on from the National Institute of Health, and we're talking about the disparities of populations in rural areas versus urban areas, and that 25% of rural Americans already use telehealth services. So the variation in urban versus rural is pretty interesting, that we have such a high percentage of adoption of telehealth in rural areas because of the need for these specialists and not being able to have the clinicians right there like we do sometimes in these urban areas.
Yeah, I mean, telehealth just historically was born out of the need from rural areas for specialty care, and then with the emergence of better broadband and focused more on prevention and chronic disease management, it's moved from that rural space to the urban and suburban space, and so we're seeing the growth in telehealth across all geographic regions.
Interesting. I know Blue Cirrus Consulting, our show sponsor, has done a great job this year covering the country and the different regions and the telehealth resource conferences. We've heard a lot of great presentations, interesting topics from hospitals and executives, all talking about how to promote telehealth and how to market it. And it's getting a lot of success and following. Kathy, what's coming up end of the year, 2019, and then in 2020?
So you mentioned the conference. So we do have a conference coming up in 2020. It's going to be April 5th through 7th, 2020, in Concord, North Carolina, which is right outside of Charlotte. Our focus is going to be on disruptive technologies and innovations that shape the future of healthcare, and really looking at disruptions across the board, whether it's workflow disruptions, the way we use data, the way we train health professionals. I think we're going to have a very robust plenary panel really looking at the health professionals education piece and how we oftentimes are training our health professionals the same way we've been doing for the last 50, and I would say even in medicine, maybe 75 years.
Mm-hmm.
And yet technology has significantly changed and shifted, and so really kind of rethinking how we train people to come out being able to use technologies effectively in their practices.
Wow. And if we put your director of research hat at UVA, what are some of the new and exciting things you're working on?
So at UVA, we have, as I mentioned, a school-based telehealth grant. And so as part of that, I think, beyond doing the traditional school-based telehealth, which we partner with our SQHCs to do, we also have a really interesting gamification of health projects going on, where we have created a custom-built game for our rural community. I would say kind of Pokemon Go on steroids that really looks at impact youth. It was geared for middle schoolers, and we're working on expanding it to more populations. But looking at how we can use a game to increase wellness behaviors as well as improve mental health outcomes for communities that have been blighted by, manufacturing that has left the community and unemployment and high opioid use. So we're really excited about this effort, and I think it's a pretty novel way to use gamification and big data and use that data to inform the community on how to improve their own community and improve mental health and physical health and well-being of children. So that's one thing. Another thing that we're working on is through an effort that University of Virginia is putting together called Telehealth Village, which is a training portal for telehealth. And we have our basic training module already on there. We have a number of modules in the works on telestroke and on interprofessional care, on Appalachian telemental health and cultural pieces. So within the next couple of months, you'll be seeing a ton of different modules being added. We have another one also on e-consult. We're also working on a CDC grant that's focused on diabetes and cardiovascular disease management, and our component is looking at the use of technology, everything from mobile health to apps to remote monitoring. And so also as part of Telehealth Village, we will be adding what's called the Marketplace of Clinical Innovation, or Marketplace of Ideas, to highlight some very innovative efforts of using technology to deal with both prevention and management of diabetes and cardiovascular diseases.
Wow.
Kathy, this is Michelle again. I was going to ask about the CBT. Is that computer-based training for patient-level diabetes education?
So it's the focus of the Marketplace of Ideas will be for clinicians, or not necessarily clinicians, but healthcare settings. So it could be an SQHC, it could be a rural health clinic, to get ideas on how to use technologies to intervene with the patients. But ultimately, some of those things are going to be patient-based or consumer-based applications that then can be used in the clinical setting.
That's great.
Yeah, that is great. That's a lot of great information. I appreciate it, Kathy. What other events this year do you think our listeners should attend regarding telehealth? We have a lot of listeners traveling in and out of Boston every day to different hospitals and healthcare workers. So what can you give them upcoming regarding telehealth?
Well, I know that all of the telehealth resource centers will be at HIMSS this year, and that is going to be in Orlando, March 9th and 13th.
Okay.
We will be working on a use case in the Interoperable Showcase, and we'll also have a meet and greet. So if you are planning on going to HIMSS, come find us and get to meet your TRC.
Perfect.
Many of us will also be at the American Telemedicine Association Conference, which is going to be in Phoenix, Arizona this year, May 3rd through 5th. And then also wanted to highlight just that for those of you who really like data and research on telehealth, the National Telehealth Research Symposium is an annual event. They just had their most recent conference in Chicago last month, so the dates for 2020 have not yet been announced, but that will be coming up again in 2020, and so keep your eyes and ears out for that.
Wow, lots to do next year. So it sounds like the HIMSS is going to be telehealth focused. That sounds great. In Orlando, March 9th through the 13th. And ATA is always an exciting conference. And that's going to be in Phoenix in May 3rd through the 5th. In the National Telehealth Research Symposium. What do you think of that, Michelle? Do you think there'll be some interest there?
I think the National Research Symposium is a great forum for folks that are interested in research related to telehealth to attend. We were actually really sad at Blue Sierras we couldn't attend this year. We had kind of put it on our calendars to be able to go. It's definitely being, you know, penned in, not penciled in this year. It's a great place to hear about case studies. So if we do have clinical folks on our listener band, which I'm sure we do, that they really should consider looking at these. These are case studies that are presented with research around them. And I think this year, Kathy, you had the pediatric group, the Sprout group, kind of combined with that. Did that have an impact on what you heard there?
Yeah, I think the quality of research just really went up a notch with both groups combined, you know, both focusing on research and data. And I think it was just a lot of good cross-fertilization as well.
That's great.
Yeah, that is great.
That's a good one.
Some great information, some great topics there, Kathy. Thank you for sharing that with us. And I hope that our listeners call in 781-837-4900 to ask any questions about healthcare and events coming up regarding telehealth and school-based telehealth programs, grants. We're always trying to, you know, influence or help hospitals, providers, clinicians, nurses, promoting telehealth business plans and strategies. I appreciate your time today, Kathy. We always want to provide our listeners with helpful information on this show, and I appreciate your help today regarding the Mid-Atlantic Telehealth Resource Centers. I want to thank our host, Michelle Hager from Blue Cirrus Consulting. Thank you very much for joining the show.
Yep. And, you're very welcome. Thank you for being here, Kathy.
And thank you for having me.
Okay. Have a great rest of your week, and let's follow up again. That's WATD 95.9 FM, Friends with Benefits.